I want you to open your Bibles with us this evening in the book of Philippians, and the chapter is the chapter number 1, Philippians chapter 1. I want us to follow the reading of God's precious word from the verse number 21. And Paul said in this book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll have a wee word of prayer just to change your position. Let's stand and bow our heads and seek the face of God in prayer as we come to open the scriptures together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts, and help us, Lord, tonight to know a deep sense of thy holy presence here in the house of God. We thank thee that, Lord, that thou hast promised that, Lord, that you, if we draw nigh to thee, that thou wilt indeed draw nigh to us. And Father, we pray that thou wilt, our God, draw so graciously nigh to us by thy Holy Spirit. Cover us in the precious blood and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that as we speak tonight, we might honor thee and uplift the Savior's name in all things. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Amen. The book of Philippians in the chapter 1 and the verse 23, we read these words. It says, "For I am on a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I wonder, have you ever been homesick? Wonder, has been a time that perhaps you were away, and maybe it just seemed to be that there was a great homesickness in your heart. You just longed to get home again. You know, that was one of the things that missionaries have to battle with whenever they go to the field. First of all, it used to be that whenever missionaries went away, there was no flights home. They came or they went along in the ship, and they traveled to a far country. And in actual fact, it was years before they were ever home again, and before they were ever to see their loved ones again. And one of the things they had to battle with in their lives was this homesickness, longing to get home. Also, I know that whenever students go to university, especially across the water, the old saying is that faraway fields are green. Somehow, whenever they get there, they have a battle in their hearts because they realize that, you know, home was the best place to be. Somehow, there was no place like home. And maybe they couldn't wait to get away from it, but somehow, there was no place like home, and there was a sickness in their hearts and longing to get home again. Well, I believe that in this passage of God's word, in Philippians chapter 1, we have the opening of the heart of the man of God, the Apostle Paul. And he said this, he says, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for you." You know, sometimes I'm sure in your life, as a child of God, that whenever trials and troubles have come into your life, there has been a longing just to get home, to be at home with the Lord. I remember Sister Annie Dobbin, I've often quoted it, but our Sister Annie, she would stand at the window and she'd look out before she would go to bed at night, and she would say, "Lord, maybe tonight, Lord, maybe tonight."
She was homesick for glory. I remember a wee man when I was a young student in Belfast. I remember going to see him. He lived in Hunter Street off the Sandy Road district of Belfast. I remember he was had come home. He had got a sickness and he had come home. And one day his daughter was up in the little room upstairs to see her dad and to comfort him and to be with them. And Mom was downstairs, the rest of the family, when he went up. When she went up to see him, wee man, the tears in his eyes, and he turned to her and he said, "Noel, I want to go home." He said, "Daddy, but you are home. Mommy's downstairs and the rest of the family's downstairs. Daddy, you are home." And he shook his head and he said, "No, Dan." He says, "No." And he pointed to heaven. He says, "No, I just want to go home. I want to go home." He was homesick for glory. You know, you and I, perhaps if we come to that place in our lives, friend, you and I have got to realize something. That we are here until the Lord allows it to be otherwise. You see, I believe that I'm immortal till my day is done. I believe that God has appointed a time. He appointed a time of my birth. He appoints a time of our death. And sometimes we talk about people, it was an untimely death. Friend, let me tell you. There's no such thing as an untimely death for God's child because we can't go before our time. I believe that the Lord is a time for us to go, and we've got to be willing to, yes, go when he calls, and we've got to stay when he tells us to stay, and in between we've got to occupy until he call or until he come. You know, I was reading this week, and keep your hand in Philippians there, but just turn over to the book of Hebrews. And I was reading there the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews this week again. And there I was reading in verse number 8 concerning Abraham. And it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, so as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And then it says this, "For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker was God." See, faith had given Abram the assurance of something better than this world has got to offer. Thank God, friends, although we're not home, those who are saved, thank God we're going home. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And so by faith, he looked for a city. But friend, it wasn't one here. His eyes were upon a greater city. One that didn't pass away. He looked for a city that hath foundation. Thank God it would never crumble. Thank God the city that he looked upon and looked for was something that would never fade, it would never decay, it would never pass away. He looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Then you look at verse 13 of that same passage of God's word. It says, "These all died in faith." I think that's a lovely statement. These all died in faith. My, it's not a wonderful way to die in faith, to die in Christ, faith in Christ. And he's speaking about Abel, he's speaking about Enoch, he's speaking about Noah, he's speaking about Abraham, he's speaking about Sarah. And then he said this, he said, "These all died in faith," every one of them, hallelujah. They all died in faith. They were all ready to go. And that's an amazing thing, you know, when we all have to die and we all have to go, but I think it's an amazing thing whenever the Holy Spirit just writes us across the names of these people. These all died in faith. That not one of them died without the Lord. Not one of them died without trusting in the Lord. And you know, whenever you look on down at verse number 16, it says this, "But now they desire a better country." They desire a better country. And friends, let me tell you, these people who died in faith, they had a heart's desire. And you know what they desired? They desired a better country. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" Look at the verse again. They desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Thank God They were homesick for glory. They desired heaven. They desired heaven as their home. You know, the wee song says, "This world is not our home. We're just passing through." But they desired a better country. One that was an heavenly one. Now, when we come now back to the book of Philippians, to the Apostle Paul, I want us to see some things about it here. Because it says, first of all, that in verse number 21, Paul was able to say this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, he was going to die in faith. He too would die in faith. He was trusting in the Lord. He said, "For me to live is Christ." And so first of all, I want you to notice about this man who had a longing to go. He had a longing for heaven, friend. But I want you to notice, first of all, his devotion. His devotion says here, he says, "For me to live." To me to live is Christ. And today's gain. And friend, when I look at this, Paul's devotion, you know, Paul lived a very full life. From the day the Lord saved him, everything changed. Whenever I think about his past, turn to the third chapter of this same book, Philippians chapter 3. And friend, it says this in verse number 3. It says, "For we are the concision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." And then he says in verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law." He said, "I am blameless." My, what a past. You know what that meant? Paul had a religious upbringing. Paul was very religious. He was brought up a Jew. And my, as a Jew, friend, he was brought up as a Pharisee. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He could honestly say, he says, "I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews." My, what a stock, what a past, what a religious upbringing he had. But you notice the change when you go to verse 7? Notice he said this, "But what things were gained to me," he says, "those I counted lost for Christ." With all this religious heritage that he had, friend, listen, his life was changed. His life was totally and wonderfully changed that day on the Damascus Road when the Lord Jesus met him, and from his conversion. He said, "All those things, you know what I'm talking about, all of those religious exercises, I thought those were all gain for me." But he says, "I counted them loss for Christ. They were as nothing. They were as nothing. Nothing but Christ." And that's why we notice in Paul's devotion, friend, I want you to notice very simply here. First of all, he had got a devotion to a person. He said in verse 21 of Philippians 1, he says, "For me to live is Christ." And if you want to know the devotion of this man, the Apostle Paul, he was able to say it's wrapped up in one word. He said, "My life is devoted to Christ. For me to live is Christ." He was devoted to the Master. My, all of those religious exercises that he had been involved in, He says, "I count them all loss." He said, "I count them all loss. And what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ." That was his devotion. His devotion was to Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the one that you're devoted to? Because not only had he a devotion to a person, notice he had got a priority. He says, "For to me to live is Christ." And friend, that simply meant this. The Lord Jesus was first place in Paul's life. He had got the first place. And maybe tonight here you are in the service, and if I were to ask you before God, who is number one in your life? You say, "Well, my wife's number one." Or you say, "My family's number one." Let me tell you, my friend, Paul said this, Jesus is number one. Because he says we've got to be willing to forsake father and mother and son and daughter and follow him. We've got to be willing to put everything on the altar I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You've got to be willing to put yourself and everything that, my friend, that you hold dear, you've got to be willing to put it on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, listen, I have a devotion to a person and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he's my priority. He's first place. Tell me, is he first place in your life and mine? Oh, you say the Lord has some place. No, 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 friend, listen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, 33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember the young man who said, let me first go and bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. No, the Lord Jesus said, seek first. You see, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ must not only be someone that you're devoted to or a person you're devoted to, but he must be priority. He must be number one in our lives. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Here is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy spirit. And friend, you and I cannot do that except our hearts be changed. And that's where conversion comes in, when we repent of our sin and we turn to Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus becomes number one in our hearts and lives, and we live for him. His devotion was to a person. And because of his devotion to that person, the Lord Jesus, then Christ was number one priority. But friend, let me tell you this. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was number one priority in Paul's life, thank God he had a passion. Because he says this, for me to live is Christ. You see, he didn't lose the zest for life. Some people have got this idea, if I came to Jesus Christ, somehow that would take the zest of life and take away the joy of life and the happiness of living. No, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Apostle Paul something to live for. He was the very heart of his life. He gave him a joy and a purpose of living. He says, my purpose for me to live. Oh, I love to live for Christ. His energy, his thoughts, his desires, all of those things were focused on Christ. Yes, he loved life. You remember Solomon when he lost out with God, friend, in his life? Go back to the book of Ecclesiastes just for a moment. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find there that Solomon had got so much. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes. He said this, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Notice me. He said, I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. And I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And I got me servants. Notice the whole verse, one after that. Me. I got me servants and maidens. And I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He said, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of the kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great. Yes, well, certainly he would feel he was great, wasn't he? Because he was full of me. And he says, so I was great. And he said, I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. What a man! He had got everything that money could buy and ever give him. You know, people are running after those things. And they're just satisfying the lusts of the flesh. Me. Go to verse number 17. I hated life. Friend, let me tell you, if you think that you're going to build your life upon these things and somehow that these will give you the satisfaction that you need, I want to tell you, these cannot satisfy your soul. None of these things can satisfy your soul. Do you remember the man said, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, you're a fool. He says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be? See, those were things, friend. And I was great. Oh, he was great in his own mind, friend. But he had no devotion to the Lord. Voltaire was an atheist. And Voltaire said these things at the end of his day, friend. He says, I dread death. He said, I dread death and I hate life. What a miserable existence. What an empty existence, friend. You know what Paul said? He said, I've got a devotion. He said, for me to live is Christ. And then not only do we see Paul's devotion, look at Paul's delight. He says, for me to live is Christ. He said, to die is gain. And what I notice here in those words, friend, let me tell you, Paul wasn't afraid to die. Death held no terror for the child of God. Always think of what Balaam, the old false prophet in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 23. He said this. He says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be as his. Now, he wanted to die right, but he wanted to live wrong. See, you want to be sure. Now, at the end of the journey, it'd all work out. And men and women, let me tell you, they want to live for sin. They want to live for self in the hope that somehow, in the end of the journey, that God will open the doors of heaven and say, come on in. This is a place for everybody. I want to tell you, my friend, that's a lie. Heaven's a place for a prepared people. Heaven's a place for the Lord's people. And Paul said, listen, yes, for me to live is Christ and I love life, but he said to die, it's gain. Yes, Balaam wanted to die peacefully. And Balaam wanted to die prepared, but he didn't want to live that way. But for Paul, death, what do we read in the book of Hebrews? They looked for a better country. They looked for a better country. And you see, Paul said this. He said it would be far better to be with Christ, which is far better. A better home, better inheritance, a better body, a better fellowship. You imagine sitting down with Abram, with Isaac, with Jacob, sitting down in heaven with Elijah and Elisha the prophet, sitting down with Daniel and the apostles. Now Paul said, listen, that's far better. What fellowship in heaven, friend, when we get home to glory? F.B. Myers, the Bible expositor, 3 days before his death, F.B. Myers wrote a letter to his friend, Pastor Findlay of Glasgow. And he said this, my dear Findlay and wife, to my surprise, I have been told that my days and hours are numbered. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have gone into the palace. Don't trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning. With much love, yours affectionately, F.B. Meyer. Friend, had no fear of death. Have you? Does death hold fear for you, friend, if you were to close your eyes in death tonight? Paul said this, for me to live is Christ. He said, for me to die is gain. Let's go back to this passage of God's word in Philippians 1. Because not only do we have Paul's devotion and Paul's delight, we have Paul's dilemma. He's in a dilemma. Look at verse 22. He says, for if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I want you to notice something, friend. Remember where Paul is. Paul's in a prison. And in every possibility, when Paul was in that prison cell, there was on either side of him, there was a soldier. I think those words there, "I am in a strait betwixt two," could have reference in one way to his human physical existence at that moment. He was between two soldiers on every hand. And that, of course, would have caused a problem and anxiety to God's child, but I don't believe that's what he was really talking about. He had got another problem. Notice he says, "I am in a strait." Now, the word "strait" there, that word strait means distressed or hard-pressed. God's child had a problem in his mind. He had a burden on his mind. He had got a pressure upon his mind. And there were two things that were pressing upon his mind. And the two things were pressing upon his mind. He says, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And friend, do you not notice it here? One was better for Paul and one was better for the saints. And he was pulled between the two. And what we find here is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul opens his heart. We're seeing what is honestly in Paul's heart at that present moment, because he confesses in the midst of a situation in that cell, he has a longing for heaven. He wants to go home. The old warrior wants to go home. Now, that's not the first time Paul wrote about that. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan." And in this human body, friend, Paul, God's servant, was groaning. In this tabernacle, we groan in verse number 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." And then he says in verse number 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Once again, he's opening his heart as he writes to the believers here at Corinth, and he said this. He said, "I say unto you, I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." He had a longing for heaven. Tell me, have you an itch for heaven, friend? God's child had. And what I believe what God's servant was saying here was simply this: there's nothing to hold me here. There was nothing on earth that was holding God's child, because he knew that heaven was his home. He said, "Our conversation," in Philippians 3:20, "or our citizenship is in heaven." And so he's honest here to our hearts, and writing to the church at Philippi, and he said this. He says, "Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." Verse 22, Philippians 1. And what he's saying is this. He said, I'm acknowledging he doesn't know what to choose. He says, "I'm in a strait betwixt two." He doesn't know what to do. Now tell me, what was the struggle that was in Paul's heart? On the one hand, he had a desire to be with Christ. He wanted to go home. I believe, my friend, he had a longing for heaven. He had a long for rest. Why? Because he loved the Lord. And he wanted to go home to be with Jesus. He wanted to see his master again. The one that he saw on that Damascus road. My, he wanted to see Jesus. He loved Jesus. And yet, whilst he wanted to be with Christ, he needed to be with the saints. because he loved them too. He knew that if he stayed, there would be fruit among them. Look at verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. God would give him fruit for staying. And then verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And that brings me quickly to Paul's declaration. Yes, he does make a choice. And what he's saying is this, the only thing that's keeping me here is to serve the Lord. That's the only reason why I want to stay. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And friend, the only thing that he wanted to stay for is to keep on serving the Lord, because for the apostle, nothing else mattered. You know, Paul was content with his lot. And yet Paul acknowledged, if you look in verse chapter 3, of Philippians, verse 8, ye doubtful, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he said this, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Friend, he had suffered the loss of everything for Jesus. But I want to tell you, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Serving the Lord. Tell me, is that why we want to stay here, friend? To serve the Lord? The Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And you know, hard life can be hard at times. And you and I can struggle in life and we can have been misunderstood and we can face many a trial and many a trouble. But friend, you and I need to keep focused. You and I are still here because God has still a work for us to do. That's why he's keeping you here. He's not here keeping you here to torture you. There's a work for you to do. May God help us do it. Work for the night's coming. And Paul said, he said, you know, I have a desire and I want to be with Christ, from whom seek for glory. But I know it's more needful to stay. It's more needful for you. He loved the Lord, friend, but he loved the Lord's people. And I tell you this before God, friend, if you really love the Lord with all your heart, God will give you a love for God's people. And may God give you and me that love for the family of God. And that brings me to the last thought. We saw his devotion. We saw his delight. We've seen his dilemma. We've heard his declaration. Here's Paul's destiny. Notice what he says in verse 23. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. What does that word depart mean? What does it mean, friend? It means pulling up the anchor, setting sail for glory. I hear people sometimes, you know, talking about having lost their loved one. And I'm sorry that you've lost your loved one, or you've lost your wife, or you've lost your husband. Let me say this, friend. Child of God, when a child of God dies, those who are left behind don't lose them. You lose something when you don't know where they are. Have you ever run around and said, I've lost my glasses? Maybe they're sitting on the top of your head. But I've lost them. know what you're saying? I don't know where they are. Have you ever said, sorry for your loss? Friend, let me tell you. When God's child goes home to heaven, praise God, we know where they are. They're at home in a more wonderful way than ever they've been before. In a better country. In a better land. Oh, friend, listen. I was just reading of a pastor who went to visit a dear lady who was dying of cancer. The pastor knew this lady. She had fellowshipped in the fellowship. He didn't know the family. And he went into this room where the lady was dying, and the children and the grandchildren were sitting by her bedside, and their eyes were filled with tears. And after some time, it's recorded, he said, I realize most of you don't know me, but I know your mum. And I know that she's a devoted believer in Jesus Christ. In a little while, the Lord is going to call her by her name, take her by the hand, and lead her into the most beautiful and awesome place in the whole universe. A place where she'll never have to deal with the ravages of cancer ever again. A place where she will be reunited with her Christian loved ones who have gone ahead of her. And those of us who trust in Christ will someday be there with her and with Jesus. When my mum died, friend, when my dad died, when my brother died, the Lord took them into the most wonderful place. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more weakness. No more sickness. No more sadness. No more sin. With Christ. Oh, what an amazing thought. You know, Paul said, oh, dear Lord, I'm homesick. To be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Pulling up the anchor. The word depart was also a military scene or a military term where the army camp started to pull up the tent pegs. And my, they started to gather up their belongings. Why? Because the soldiers were moving on. Friend, let me tell you, that's what happens. Whenever it comes for the believer to die, we loosen the ties of this life. And thank God we have the freedom to move on with Christ. Paul puts it like this, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Think of it. When you breathe your last, take that last breath on earth, friend, absent, present. It's a swift passing. In a split second, friend. Absent from the body. Let me tell you, Paul didn't need anybody to pray for him when he was dying because he was absent one moment. And before the moment, the next moment ever came, he was present with the Lord. There's no soul sleep there. It says absent from the body. Yes, the body goes to the grave. Yes, the body goes to sleep. in the ground until the day of resurrection. But it's absent to be present. And the role is called up yonder. Present, Lord, with the Lord. It's not only a swift passing, with us a close, it's a safe passing. Here on earth, we're anchored to hardships and battles and fears and tears and trials, heartaches. But thank God we pull up the anchor and we'll sail for glory. For glory land. That will be glory. Be glory for me. I mentioned Voltaire. And Voltaire was a noted French infidel. He was a very talented writer of his time, and he used his pen, as he claimed, to demolish Christianity. Of Christ, he said, curse the rich. And Voltaire boasted that in 20 years, Christianity would be no more. He says, my single hand shall destroy the edifice it took the 12 apostles to rear. The nurse who attended Voltaire's death, she said this, for all the wealth in Europe, I would not see another infidel die. He cried out despairingly, I am abandoned by God and man. He said to the doctor, I will give you half of what I have. If you will give me 6 months of life. The doctor couldn't give him 6 minutes, 6 hours. And then he said this. Then I shall go to hell. And you will go to hell with me. O Christ. O Jesus Christ. Died in despair, friend. Paul didn't die in despair. He says, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. If you only knew, friend, if you and I only knew the glory and the wonder and the beauty of what heaven is like, where our loved ones who are saved are, I tell you, our tears would be all wiped away. With Christ, far better. I'll say this. You see, Voltaire, he said in 20 years Christianity would be destroyed. Do you know this? That after his death, the very house in which he wrote his foul literature and printed his foul literature against the Lord Jesus Christ became the depot for the Geneva Bible Society to spread the word across the world. And he died in his sin and he went to hell, and God's word and God's work went on. Are you saved tonight? Before God, can you say, like the Apostle Paul, preacher, for me to live is Christ, to die's gain? If you're not saved, I beg you in God's name, settle it tonight, friend. Settle it tonight. You need to be ready. Your family need to know that you're ready. You need to leave a testimony behind you that daddy's in heaven, mommy's going to glory. May God save you now, for Jesus' sake.